Bell. Good evening. My name is Daniel. Please don't call me Dr. Bowers. When I have two doctorates. When I received my first one, my wife refused to call me doctor. When I received the second one, she again reminded me it was not going to happen. So, please call me Daniel. I thought I would give you a little bit of an overview of who I am, where I've come from, what I've done, and what I'm doing. I'm going to try and do this very quickly. I can tell you that I was 9 months old when I was born. Amen? Amen. I can tell you that I'm from the United States originally. I've now been in Canada pretty close to 45 years. I can tell you that my mother is a single parent, or was a single parent. She actually just passed away this past October. And she had 12 children. And I can tell you that we just found out this past summer that she actually had 13. We have a brother that we never knew about. I can tell you that when I was about 10 years old, the state of Pennsylvania came to my mother and said to her, "You have to give up 6 of your children or we're going to take all 12. And I was one of 6 that she chose to give up, and I became a ward of the state of Pennsylvania, and I went and I lived in a state-run institution, a residential school, with hundreds of other kids, and I stayed there until I graduated from high school. I can tell you that it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I felt safe. I got regular meals. I had clean sheets and clean clothes, and I received a very good education. I can also tell you, though, that my family unit disintegrated. And when I and my 5 other siblings went to the school, we never lived together again as a family. We were all in different parts of the campus, living in different areas. I can tell you that I came to Canada when I was about 19 or 20 years of age. I landed in Toronto, and I met a Christian man from Calgary. And that man took me under his wing, and he guided me while he was in Toronto, and we spent 2 weeks touring and just looking at the sites, and I'm learning a little bit about Canada. And at the end of the 2 weeks, he said, "You know what, Dan, you should come back to Calgary with me." And so I can tell you that I did. I went back to Calgary with him, and I met his family, and his family allowed me to stay with them. The very first night that we were in Calgary, he said, "Look, I'm going to a coffee house in a church that I attend. Why don't you come?" And I said, "Okay." So we went to a coffee house in the bottom of this church, First Baptist Church in Calgary, and I met a young girl. She had just graduated from Bible school. That young girl is now my wife. And we have been married 42 years this May. God's good, amen? God is good. A year after we were married, my wife said, "I want to go home to Ontario," and she's from Dryden. She said, "I want to live in Dryden." So I said, "Okay, I will go ahead of you, and I will try and find us a place to stay and find some work." And I went, and I stayed with her brother, and her brother was married, and he said to me these exact words. He said, "If you stay in my house, you have to go to church." So I went to church. I went to a Baptist church there. Several months later, I asked Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, and that was in 1977. In 1978, I was baptized by immersion. Over time, the Lord began to work on my heart, and I began to study for the ministry. Many years later, I now have, as I said, I have a doctor of ministry in theology and a PhD in Christian counseling. The church that I was saved in and baptized in and attended for many years sent me out, and I became a pastor. And then a year after I was in ministry, they ordained me into the ministry. I've always worked with small churches, churches who are struggling. I always have sort of felt my ministry at that time was to work with churches who are struggling and to help them to build up the church body. And God's always blessed. But at every church that I pastored, I always started a Bible Institute, because I believe teaching God's people God's Word is very important. And so Christian education is very important to me personally. And so God has been good over the years. But there came a time when you do something and you know you kick the devil in the shins and he doesn't like it and he comes after you. Amen? And that time happened to me when I came actually to Manitoba. And the devil came after me. And before I realized what was happening, I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of what took place, but I'm going to tell you it was the most stressful time after years of ministry I'd ever had in my life. My church was in rebellion. They didn't want to live up to the doctrinal statement that they said they believed in. We had a financial advisor. The financial advisor stole our savings, not just ours, but many people. Eventually, he went to prison for 4 years, over $4 million lost, caused stress between my wife and myself, and I left the ministry. And I went to the University of Manitoba, and that's where I worked. And I held a number of positions there over the years, and I finally retired at 61 years of age from the University of Manitoba as the Academic and International Project Advisor for the Faculty of Agriculture. That opened up more doors for me, though, because I was able to go to China, and I teach regularly in China. I still go to China to teach. But it specifically opened up a door for one couple. And that couple were from a Buddhist background, and they came, and I worked with them. I had Bible study with them, and they are now saved. They attend the church that I attend. They've got a beautiful little daughter, and God is great. Amen? Amen. All of that for one couple. But it's worth it. For one soul, it's worth it. But for a couple, amen. So that's my life in a nutshell. I promised your pastor I would do my best to keep my message to a minimum, because I have a tendency to want to give it all. Amen. And so I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to do my best to stick within about 30 minutes. I want to talk to you, if I may, about Bible liberty. And we can talk about liberty, and we can talk about the liberty that we have as Canadians, the liberty that we have as Christians, but I think a lot of times we actually do not realize or even understand the liberty that we really have to exercise as Christians. So I'm going to ask you, would you take your Bibles, please, and would you open to the book of Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5, and I'm only going to read one verse. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 1. And I know, even though it's one verse, I believe that when you read God's Word out of reverence for the Word of God and out of reverence for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I am going to ask you to please stand. Just for one verse. So the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. I count it a joy to be here this evening amongst my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for the great opportunity that you have given me to come into this place at this time with this people. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit would fill me at this time and guide me and direct me. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that Daniel Bowers would step aside tonight and that the Holy Spirit would minister to these, your people. I pray, Heavenly Father, that there'll be some meat given out tonight. But for those who can't stand the meat at this time, due to maybe a lack of spiritual maturity, I pray that even some milk of the Word would be given out tonight. And for those, Heavenly Father, who are mature in the Word, I pray that they'll receive some strong meat tonight from the Word of God. Lord, just bless us. Bless our time together. For I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, growing up in the United States as a child, I had always been taught that all men are created equal and that everyone was endowed by God, our Heavenly Father, with certain rights and certain privileges. And among these rights and among these privileges are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Amen? Amen. And since moving to Canada over 45 years ago, I've learned that both in the United States and in Canada, we have liberty like no other countries in the world. We believe that liberty is the birthright of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're brown, if you're yellow, if you're white, if you're indigenous, if you're non-indigenous, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're educated, if you're uneducated, if you're young, or if you're old. In Canada and in the United States, we are free. And that's a wonderful thing. I am this evening very grateful, if you would, for religious freedom. I am proud to be able to read and study my Bible. I'm proud that I can fellowship tonight with other brothers and sisters in the Lord without fear of being imprisoned for our beliefs. I'm grateful tonight for the chance to worship without fear of government intervention or being told, if you would, that I must only worship in a state-run worship service or in a certain appointed building that the state has chosen for me to go and worship in. But the liberty, as taught to us in our text this evening, consist of none of these things. No, Bible liberty is an infinitely, if you would, greater thing than most of us really imagine or understand. Look with me once again, if you would, at the wording in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty herewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." As Christians, then, we are told to stand fast. We're commanded in the Word of God to stand fast. Or in other words, the Bible says we're to stand firm. Or don't waver in your liberty in Christ Jesus. We no longer have to place ourselves under the bondage of Sabbaths and feast days or circumcision. As Christians, we're free, and we are free from the worship and service program of the law. With Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 in mind, I want you to think about your own personal liberty in Christ Jesus. The Word of God teaches us that Christ Jesus came to set us free from the law of sin and death and from the law of Moses, which was designed, if you would, to point mankind to His coming redemption for them. And once Christ Jesus has made us free, we as Christians are to never again return back to or be entangled again with a yoke of religious slavery to the ceremonial obligations and the entanglements of the Mosaic Law. Real Bible liberty is not the freedom to choose to do wrong. Real Bible liberty is the freedom to choose to do right. Let me say that again. Real Bible liberty is not the freedom to choose to do wrong. Real Bible liberty, my brothers and sisters, is the freedom to choose to do right. You know, there are many Christians all over the world this evening who are in bondage to a government that will not allow them to openly and freely worship their Lord and Savior without the fear of being imprisoned. We don't have that fear tonight. I think of places like China, which I've been to many times, where the government is right now at this very moment shutting down Sunday school classes and underground churches, and they're arresting pastors who refuse to register their church with the Chinese government, and yet the underground church in China continues to grow by thousands every week. In fact, the underground church in China is outgrowing the church here in North America. Why? Because our Chinese brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus have learned that it is possible to be in bondage to an earthly power or have a political authority over them and still be free and have liberty in Christ Jesus. You know, as great as civil or religious liberty may be here in Canada, the liberty spoken of in our Bible text this evening exceeds, if you would, what we think our liberty in Christ Jesus really is. There is a liberty that only Christians can enjoy. A Christian is any free man, woman, boy, or girl that the truth of the Word of God makes free. Amen? Amen. And they're the ones, if you would, who have grace in their hearts, and because they now have grace in their hearts, they're free. They now have right on their side through and in Christ Jesus. They have God within them through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, Christians now have the royal blood of heaven covering them. We are now noble because we have the true pattern of nobility in and through Christ Jesus. Every born-again Christian is one of God's elect. They're distinguished and they're chosen children. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free." Amen. And John chapter 8, verse 36, "And if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. You know, without the knowledge of Christ and the indwelling Spirit of God within each and every person in Canada or the United States, even though we as Canadians are living in a free country that allows us to exercise our religious freedoms as we see fit, we can still be a slave to sin. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." When you become a child of God, you, the Bible teaches, are free from sin, but you're also free from so much more. The Holy Spirit frees you from the crushing emotional and spiritual entanglements of men. Look, if you would, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look down, if you would, at verse 26. The Word of God says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost freed you from the opinions of men. The Holy Ghost freed you from the opposition of men. The Holy Ghost freed you, if you would, from the objections of men. And the Holy Ghost freed you from the operations of men. But you know what else the Holy Ghost also freed you from? This is going to sound strange, but the Holy Ghost freed you from music. You said, music? We just sang. Amen. And I love those hymns. Look, if you would, at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. The Word of God says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. What a powerful verse. Why? It's powerful because God's music is not meant to be just for entertainment. We are to use music to worship our Heavenly Father. We are to use music to lift our hearts. We're to use music to lift our minds. And we're to use music to lift our voices and our hands towards God and towards the Word of God. I travel around. I've been in a lot of churches. I've been in churches where they start singing at the beginning of the service, and an hour and a half later, they're still singing. But they're singing country western songs. They're singing worldly songs. They're singing the same phrase in a chorus over and over in 15 and 20 and 25 minutes. It's the same words over and over and over. And there's nothing in it. It's shallow. And Bible liberty frees you from that stuff. And yet we go and we try and lock ourselves into that stuff again and again and again and again and again and again. And yet the Bible says in Colossians 3:16 that we're to admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what else the Holy Ghost frees you from? The Holy Ghost frees you from the messages of men. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, the Word of God says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen to me. Once we're saved, once we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our message is always, always, always the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But people are looking at and they're listening to more than what we say about Christ Jesus with our lips. They're looking at our life and they're looking at our lifestyle. You know, I used to, at the university when I was there, I teach a course at the University of Manitoba for the agricultural diploma program called Communication Skills, and I taught another program called Advanced Communication Skills. And as I've shared with you, I travel regularly to teach at different universities in China. And I would teach a similar course in communications or leadership skills, critical thinking. And one of the things that I always have tried to teach my students is that when you are communicating with others, it's important that you learn to listen with your eyes and not just your ears. Let me say that again. It's important that you learn to listen with your eyes and not just your ears. Our message as Christians is not what we preach. And our message as Christians is not just the words that we say with our lips or our actions. Our message as Christians is what our life and our lifestyle tells others about the God we claim to be worshiping. Our message as Christians is what we're doing for God with our life and with our lifestyle. That means that everyone sitting here this evening and everyone out there who proclaims to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is being watched and read like a book. And our life and our lifestyle is either helping to draw people closer to the Lord or it's actually turning them away from the Lord. And in that sense, then, you as a Christian, you as a Christian man, you as a Christian woman, you as a Christian young person, you are the message that God is using to witness to the world. And trust me, people are listening to you with their eyes. And that's what Bible Liberty is all about. It's about worshiping God. It's about drawing closer to God, our Heavenly Father, today than you were yesterday. It's about getting into God's holy word and studying it so that you can learn more about God, so that you can learn more about the things of God. You know, Bible Liberty is learning to allow your whole body, from your head to your toes, from fingertip to fingertip. It's learning to allow your entire body to preach and proclaim Christ to a lost and dying world without you having to say one verbal word in the world. It's like that old saying we've heard many times, actions speak louder than words. You know, you want to know a surefire way to get God's approval on your life? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I mean, if you want to know a surefire way to actually know that God approves of what you're doing with your Bible Liberty, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 gives you a clue. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, if you want God's approval on your life, there are four things that you need to do. First, you need to study the word of God. Then you need to share what you've learned through your Bible study with others. And then you need to take what you've learned in your Bible study and you need to work with it in your own life so that others can see that you actually do practice what you say you believe. And finally, you need to learn to rightly divide the Word of God. I think God is telling us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, specifically, learn to rightly divide. Because it tells me then, if He's telling us to rightly divide, there have to be a lot of people in the body of Christ who are wrongly dividing. Amen? They're not comparing Scripture with Scripture. They're just grabbing onto a verse and they build a whole doctrine for their life out of it. I believe in thus saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, and that, my brothers and sisters, that's Bible Liberty. We have liberty in Christ Jesus to read and study our Bibles, and yet, more often than not, we who are in the body of Christ, we don't exercise that liberty. In fact, do you realize that the average Christian does not even bring their Bibles to church anymore? They don't. There was a time when we as sinners did not have this spiritual liberty, which allows us to gather together to worship and sing praises or read or study our Bibles. We were strangers from God. We were without Christ Jesus, and we had no hope in the world. But we who once were far off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were once in bondage, but now we live in liberty. We were under condemnation, the Word of God teaches us, but now we've experienced salvation. We were slaves to sin, but now we're free to serve God. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is liberty. You know, the Bible shows us that we have liberty from sin. We see that in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where the Word of God says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did not more abound." It says, much more abound. That's wonderful, isn't it? You know what? We have liberty by God's grace from sin's strength. That means that sin's authority, sin's power, sin's bondage, and sin's dominion over us is broken. With all the horrible types of man-made bondage and slavery that there is in this world, there is nothing more horrible in life than the bondage of sin. Why? Because it's not anything that man makes that sends us to hell. It's sin that sends people to hell. It's not asking Christ to forgive those sins that sends people to hell. Every living person, before they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, is a slave to sin. For instance, young people especially love to rattle their sin chains of bondage and call it rap music and rock music or some other type of music, or they love to involve themselves in some other type of countercultural movement. How many times have men and women been tossed from side to side at night, sleepless and restless, and when they woke up the next morning, they woke up with regrets, and they woke up with concerns, and they woke up with worry about their past actions, or maybe even their inactions. And even though they plunge themselves into another day of sin, those past regrets and burdens keep coming back, and time and time and time again, they bring them down emotionally, they bring them down spiritually, they bring them down even physically. And they try to do better, but they fail. They want to do better, but they can't. Conviction presses in on their heart, and the pangs of hell catch hold of their soul. And this is bondage of the worst kind. Why? Because it is bondage of the power of sin's hold on a person's life. But listen to me. Listen to me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... there is what? Liberty. And what is sin's sentence? Sin's sentence is death. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, I praise God this evening for that time back in the fall of 1977 when the Spirit of God helped me to understand the spiritual truth that God had forever judged my sins on the cross through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? So that I could go free. I received His Spirit in my heart, and praise the Lord, I was set free from sin's death. I was set free from sin's death hold on my life. I was set free from sin's shame. I was set free from guilt and remorse and blame because my sins, the Bible teaches me, were taken away by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not a pardon, people. It's justification. It's not that I no longer feel guilt. It's that I am no longer guilty through Christ Jesus. I was a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. My sins were nailed to the cross of Christ, and I have the righteousness of my Savior now placed upon me. It's like the children of Israel. When they passed over the River Jordan and they set up 12 stones, and those stones reminded them of where they were in Egypt, but they're no longer there. The stigma, if you would, was rolled away. God's also granted us liberty from fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." People, tonight, we have liberty from the fear of the law. You know, many people are honest because they're afraid of the police. Many people are sober because they're afraid of the eye of the public if it were to see them drunk. Many of people today appear to be religious because their neighbors are religious. Walking in the Spirit is a vivid description used in the New Testament to point out that we as Christians, that we are to have our attitudes and our thinking and all of our actions and all of our activities, if you would, under the control and the guidance and the influence of the Holy Spirit. There's great freedom tonight in knowing that you are fully and completely accepted by God in Christ Jesus. But that is only the beginning of your liberty in Christ. God is good. Amen? God is just so good. You know, I read a story some time ago, and the story dealt with a man who went out and he purchased a white mouse, and he wanted to use that mouse as food for his pet snake. And so he went and he purchased the mouse, he took the mouse home, and he opened up the lid to this large aquarium where he kept the snake in, and he dropped the unsuspecting mouse into the aquarium. And the snake was sleeping. And he was sleeping on a bed of sawdust. And the tiny mouse had some serious problems now. And at that moment, he realized he could be swallowed alive. So the mouse said, "I need to come up with a brilliant idea, a plan to get myself out of this situation." And what did this terrified little creature do? He quickly set to work covering the snake with sawdust chest, and he's pushing the chips this way and he's pushing the chips that way, and he completely covered the snake. And with that, once the snake was covered, the mouse thought that he had solved his problem. The real solution, however, came from outside the aquarium when the man who purchased the mouse and put him into the aquarium took pity on the silly little mouse and removed him from the cage. Now listen to me. No matter how hard we try to cover or deny our sinful nature or the sin that we have in our life, sin that needs to be properly dealt with, it's fool's work. You see, sin will eventually wake up from its sleep and shake off the flimsy covering that we've placed over it, and it will try to devour us. It will try to destroy us. Praise God this evening. If it wasn't for the saving grace of the Master's hand, sin would eat us up also. Bible liberty, my brothers and sisters, gives you a choice. You can either choose to follow Christ Jesus, or you can turn your back on God and follow the world's crowd. It's Bible liberty this evening that says, turn to Jesus. It's Bible liberty this evening that says, turn your eyes and your ears and focus on Jesus. If you want to be free from the trappings of this old world tonight, then I want to challenge you to get into the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit guide and direct your life and your lifestyle. And God will lift you out of the trap that Satan has set for you. If you're free this evening because Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior, why would you allow yourself to be enslaved once again in the bondage of worry and worldliness and sin? So I want to encourage everyone here this evening to stand fast in your faith. Stand fast in your God-given Bible liberty and live for Jesus tonight and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Live, 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 live for Jesus. Don't worry about yesterday's failures. Don't worry about yesterday's mistakes. They're gone. You can't change them. You can't do anything with them. It's like taking toothpaste. You get a tube of toothpaste and you squeeze all the toothpaste out. You can't put it back in. Amen? And that's what the mistakes and the sin is like. Once it's out there, it's out there. So don't let that put you in bondage for the rest of your life. What can you do? You can focus on your spiritual successes for today by fixing your eyes firmly on God and on the things of God. To do so, my brothers and sisters, is to properly exercise your God-given Bible liberty. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have so much as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that salvation is just the beginning. I'm so thankful, Heavenly Father, that there's so much more. And Lord, I pray as we prepare to leave this place, that even before we leave this place, Heavenly Father, if there's anything in our life that is holding us back, I pray that we bring it to you before we leave this place and talk to you about it and make it right with you. And if we're discouraged, Heavenly Father, about the mistakes and the sin of yesterday, that's just Satan trying to hold us down. But our liberty, Heavenly Father, shakes those shackles off, our liberty in Christ Jesus. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen our mind tonight and not allow Satan to play those games. And I ask, Lord, as my brothers and sisters prepare to leave this place this evening, that they would leave feeling encouraged and blessed because they have access to your liberty in their own life. And I pray, Lord, that their actions will speak louder than their words. For I pray these things in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.